The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Derek Frost for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading from the Triangle Business Journal. And we start with the cover story headline, Land Grab. Home builders head to new hot zones of the Triangle as undeveloped land is increasingly hard to find. And the cover story begins inside the Triangle Business Journal with the second headline, Looking Out for New Land. As available land disappears, projects pop up in new parts of Wake County. And this is written by Kaylee Thompson. Looking at a map of where home builders are seeking projects in Wake County, one can see why developers are targeting certain areas. It's the land. Lots and lots of undeveloped land. Everybody would like to build more in Cary and Apex, but there's not a lot of land left, says Erica Leatham, Vice President of Land for M&I Homes. It's why the hottest areas of development for single-family home subdivisions are Garner, Southeast Raleigh, Wendell, and Northeast Raleigh. Those are opportunities, too. A lot of people who don't want to live in Cary or are looking for more affordability are going out to the east side of Wake County and south to Garner, Fuquay, those kinds of communities. That's where people want to be. We'll try to build them homes there, Leatham says. The affordability piece makes a big difference when the median sales price in August for Raleigh was $465,000, a big jump from the lowest median sales price in the county, $373,940 in Zebulon. Large swaths of undeveloped land aren't the only reason home builders are being drawn to these areas. It's a combination of following the extension of Interstate 540, where the infrastructure is set up and where rapid growth has brought more development. Infrastructure is key for home builders. If an area doesn't have it or it's not easily accessible, it could be a challenge that keeps them from building there. If a municipality has a long-range plan to install the infrastructure needed, that helps sway the company to build in that location. More than 3,300 permits were issued for January through June in those four spots alone, while 5,000 permits were issued for all of Wake County for the same time period, an increase of 5.75% from 2019 when the number was just 4,740. It's part of an attempt to meet the housing shortage that Wake County continues to face, something that Stacy Anfinson, residential real estate appraiser, says the region won't catch up for another 5 years at least. But home builders can only build as fast as they can get through the review and permitting process, and for some municipalities, that means time, lots of it in some cases. Hotbed for homes. For the past two decades, the most popular places to build were in Cary, Mooresville, and Apex. Now those areas are almost all built out. For example, Anfinson says the 1,200-acre Veridia mixed-use development with more than 5,000 single-family homes is the last big tract of undeveloped land for the town of Apex. So home builders have moved on, and so have home buyers, as it becomes increasingly harder to afford a home on the western side of Wake County. The search for land and affordability has pushed most major subdivisions to the outer edges of Wake County, teetering on the edge of the counties that surround the region. We have to still be looking to the future and where that growth is going to be going next. Southeast Wake is high on our target list, says Amanda Hoyle, Director of Land Acquisition for TriPoint Homes. Johnston County is high on our target list. Builders, because we are all competing for so many of the same pieces of land, the same areas where we know that buyer demand is high, and we're starting to look at opportunities a little bit further out. So deeper into Johnston County, going into Harnett County, you're going to see a lot of new housing construction jumping the line into Harnett County, she says. While building hundreds of homes in one neighborhood in Raleigh has become rare, there are still a couple of areas with room to grow, and they're both on the eastern side of the city, Northeast Raleigh and Southeast Raleigh. Around 1,400 building permits have been issued in Northeast Raleigh, while 537 have been issued for Southeast Raleigh from January to June of 2024, according to the City of Raleigh data. Daniel Stiegel, City of Raleigh Planning and Development Assistant Director, says that commercial development has been picking up in both those places, which has caused the home builders to follow. He cites the planned Publix at the intersection of Buffalo and Forestville Roads as evidence of that growth. A lot more businesses are coming to that area, businesses that you probably wouldn't have seen in previous years. I'm not boasting about like a Publix, but in previous years you probably wouldn't see a Publix in Northeast Raleigh, Stiegel says. The future Publix anchored shopping center in Northeast Raleigh has translated to plans for more than 1,200 homes. And that has led to even more retailers to sign on, including Chipotle, McDonald's, and Dunkin'. And even more homes could be on the way as national home builder Lennar Corporation filed a rezoning application for Old Mill Burney Road that would bring almost 1,000 homes if approved. Some people joke that Raleigh is built out, Stiegel says. That is the case when you get south of 440, but when you start working your way toward 540 in those areas, there's some pockets that are still available that have not been developed, and at this point, they're either in review for site development or maybe in contract. So a lot of areas out there, they're still vacant and are ready to be developed, but as you get closer to town, it's pretty much built out. Lennar remains one of the most active home builders in the Triangle. In addition to communities in Northeast Raleigh, it is building more than 700 homes in the Trace at Old Town development in Southeast Raleigh. Another massive development proposed by the company is Weathers Landing in Wendell. If approved, it will have 922 single-family homes and townhomes on 300 acres. Lennar declines to comment for this story. In its 2024 first quarter earnings call, Lennar said its market share in Raleigh increased from 16% to 20%. When looking for where to build, home builders consider factors like proximity to employment, transportation, and infrastructure. Hoyle says TriPoint focuses on the demographics of where people are shopping for homes and where they're visiting the company, the company's models to see where their demand is. I love to see where the water and the sewer infrastructure already exists and where I can tap into that or where it's going. I'm looking at the road infrastructure, where the interstates are going, so people can get there, Hoyle says. But even if people can get to a piece of property, if I can't get water or sewer there and we're going to have to be dependent on individual septic systems or a community well, that's a different type of buyer and a different cost structure that I'm looking at when I'm looking at a piece of property, she says. Two of those areas that have that infrastructure have easy access to interstates and are drawing more home builders than other areas are Wendell and Garner. Through June this year, 709 permits have been issued in Wendell, while 689 have been issued in Garner, an increase of 406% and 120% respectively from the first half of 2021. Most of the growth in Wendell has been in and around Wendell Falls, with home builders continuously filing permits to build there. It's become a wildly popular destination for home buyers, especially with the retail offerings and amenities. They're choosing Wendell because Wendell Falls has been very successful, so that has helped others realize the Wendell market can be successful, says Brian Coates, Town of Wendell Planning Director. We're 20 to 25 minutes to downtown Raleigh and North Hill, so the proximity is there for residents and commuters. That proximity to downtown is key. We have direct highway access with Interstate 87. He says that while Wendell Falls is popular for home builders, there's no longer one particular area of Wendell that is being built up. Home builders are building all over with new neighborhoods in all areas of town, all different locations, he says, and looking for locations close to transportation corridors, he says. Garner is in a similar situation. Jeff Triesenberg, planning director for the town, says that residential projects are popping up all over town and not in any one particular area. The one thing that they do, home builders, do acknowledge quite often, and this goes for any developer in Garner, whether it's residential or not, is Garner's proximity to downtown Raleigh, where our old historic core is closer to downtown Raleigh than any other municipality in Wake County other than Raleigh itself, Triesenberg says. Garner has built a long-standing reputation on its kind of familial atmosphere and just being kind of a downtown community. Garner is about 15 minutes to downtown Raleigh, closer than those who live in North Raleigh. That proximity has attracted hundreds of home buyers looking to buy an affordable home while also having quick and easy access to Raleigh and what it has to offer. The August median sales price for homes in Garner was $381,500, according to Dorify MLS, formerly known as Triangle MLS. It's the second lowest priced municipality within Wake County, with only Zebulon being lower. Wendell's median was $383,325. Location scouting might be the easiest part of the new subdivision building process, as home builders have talked about how the site and permitting review process can take years before they can start turning dirt. Permitting pains. The permitting process can vary depending on the municipality, with some taking up to a year and others taking about a month or so. Much of that variation has to do with whether state permits are needed, infrastructure issues, inspections, how many reviews it goes through, and municipality staffing issues. Hoyle says that it can be difficult for municipalities to keep quality planners on staff for long, and that the fewer the staff on hand, the longer the permitting process will take. Wendell uses Wake County for its inspections to help speed up their process. Coates says that if everything goes to plan and the permitting is fairly straightforward, a home builder can have permits in hand just over 20 days after first applying in Wendell. However, delays can occur that push that process out, increasing the permit timeline by months. Garner's process is a little different, leading to a 6 to 9 month timeline of permitting. Rather than contracting with Wake County for inspections, it has its own inspections department. That timeline is if the plan is straightforward with no complications or issues. Treisenberg says Garner's process has sped up after it added an online permitting portal in 2023. That portal puts up a roadblock until each step in the process is completed fully and correctly. It allows home builders to see what needs to be adjusted without having to call or meet with town staff on what needs to be addressed. Permitting is difficult throughout Wake County. It's a challenge no matter where you go. Raleigh's doing a lot of work to try and streamline their permitting process. That's something that makes Raleigh more attractive to the extent you can find something there, find some land, says Erica Leatham of M&I Homes. The city of Raleigh has one of the most streamlined processes between its online portal and staffing. A few years ago, the planning department had 12 openings. Patrick Young, planning director for Raleigh, has whittled that down to just 2 openings. With more staff and staff who is experienced, the permitting process becomes shorter. Stiegel says the permitting process can take as few as 30 days, with time increasing depending on how many reviews the plan has to go through. Depending on how well a home builder puts together its infrastructure and building plan can dictate how many times it gets back review comments and goes through review cycles. This is a series of going back and forth. Some projects you can get approved after 3 rounds of submission to the town. Some may take 9, 10, 11, 12 submissions depending on the conflict, how complicated the project is, and how many questions get asked, Hoyle says. The key to success and a shorter process with municipalities can be having a good engineer, especially because there are so many different government agencies to work with in addition to the town staff. Comparative to other markets, the municipalities within Wake County fall in the middle. While some markets, especially ones with more staff and resources on hand, are faster during the permitting process, there are still several that are much slower. We're definitely lower than most of them in Florida, but maybe the same or a little faster than some of the other southeast markets, Leatham says. I used to work in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, which has a very complex permitting system. 5 years is probably not an unreasonable amount of time to get something approved and in the ground. The long ride. Leatham says it seems like the more development comes to a region, the more complicated processes become, whether it's because new planners come in with new ideas or developers introduce processes that are used to other places. This appears to be proven out in Wake County as the increase of development pre-COVID has prolonged approval and permitting processes across all municipalities, and permitting is essentially the only challenge home builders face in the area. Home builders report that it's no longer difficult to get labor for construction crews, that construction costs have started to come down, and there's no more backlog of construction supplies. The occasional issue they face is that Duke Energy has struggled with delivering transformers on time for projects. It has held up projects, but that is after plans and permits are approved. With so many permits issued in Wake County, it can be hard to keep up with the demand. Building in Wake County has grown exponentially, but again, it's because those in the residential real estate industry are trying to keep pace with the demand. With so many plans coming forward, thousands of homes are in the pipeline for Wake County, but that's just it. They're only plans right now, and home builders have to get through the approval and permitting process to start construction on those plans. When all factors are taken into consideration, it can be 3 to 4 years before construction starts, then maybe another 2 to 5, depending on the size of the project, before the homes are complete and ready for move-in. Wake County can expect to see even more building permits issued and a long ride before the housing supply catches up to demand. You can see the reason it's building going there is because that's the only place where there's vacant land, Anfinson says. So it's not some magic all of a sudden we discovered Zebulon, because Zebulon is still 45 minutes away from everything. It's just that if you want to build a $300,000 house, that's the only place where there's land to do it that's priced so you can do that. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to Biz, a quick glance at Triangle happenings, written by Dane Huffman. Finding plumbers is no simple task. Plumbing companies scramble for workers despite demand, decent pay. Matt Kilgore grew up the son of a plumber and eventually landed in the field himself. It was immediately interesting, he says. I always liked it. Now he has his own firm in Apex, Arcane Plumbing Solutions, and his father works for him. But despite the fact that there is plenty of work and good pay, Kilgore is noticing there are a few like him jumping into the plumbing business, even in a market that's exploding, such as the Triangle. Trying to get new people into it is, well, good luck, he says. No one is interested in this. For every 100 who are no longer plumbers, only 7 took their place. It's a trend you see across North Carolina, and Stephanie Blazik, the executive director of the Plumbing, Cooling, Heating Contractors Association of North Carolina, says it's especially acute in rural areas. It's getting better, but we definitely had more people exit due to retirement than come in, she says. Blazik blames part of the problem on bad branding and notes that being in the business can provide a great quality of life without the expense of a college degree, but finding plumbers is difficult. She notes that many firms are basically buying away plumbers from rivals, although that trend has calmed down recently. Instead of stealing people from one another, they focused on building relations with high schools and community college and communities, starting with apprenticeship programs, Blazik says. So instead of stealing people, they are growing them from scratch. That slowed down the rise in labor cost. That has been helpful, she adds. Kilgore has found a niche fixing plumbing that was done with polybutylene water pipes, which were commonly used from the 1970s to the 1990s. He notes that the polybutylene pipes were easy to use and manufacture, but can become defective and fail. In high growth areas, such as the Triangle, have many homes that date from that period. But finding people willing and able to do the work isn't easy, even for someone like Kilgore, who grew up in the business. It's a lot to train someone to do something the right way, he says. Well-known Raleigh home back on the market. One of the hottest auctions in Raleigh recently came back in March 2023 when Leland Little auctioned off all sorts of items from the estate of the late Frank Daniels Jr. and his wife Julia on 3319 White Oak Road. The Daniels family, who owned the News and Observer, had a collection of art, furniture, and mahogany Steinway and a mahogany Steinway grand piano. Biz came up a bit short on the $6,750 piano, but did snag some Hartman luggage. The 18,303 square foot house, meanwhile, later sold to an LLC addressed to Todd Saeed, CEO of DeWitt Carolinas and a White Oak Road neighbor, for $3 million. If you want the house, it's back on sale for $7.5 million, but sorry, you're too late on the luggage. Kinston rebounds with a new baseball team. A well-known businessman in Kinston is stepping up to keep baseball in the city. This season was the last one in Kinston for the Down East Wood Ducks, who are moving to Spartanburg, South Carolina for the 2025 season. The Wood Ducks are a single-A affiliate for the Texas Rangers. But the Independent Frontier League recently announced that the Down East Bird Dogs will join for the 2025 season and play in Kinston's Granger Stadium. Breeze Airways expanding services at RDU. Raleigh-Durham International Airport's low-cost carriers are expecting a heavy holiday travel season, and Breeze Airways in particular is doubling its scope. This winter, the startup airline will have doubled in size both by flights and seats over last year, says CEO David Nealman. Breeze currently serves 22 nonstop destinations out of RDU, with new Florida service to Sarasota starting in November and Daytona Beach in February. The airline is also bringing back its nonstops to New Haven, Connecticut, and Louisville, Kentucky in February. Nealman says the market is exceeding our wildest expectations. I think a lot of our crews would like to live there, he says of the Triangle. And finally, AI making only a slight impact on business so far. The reach of artificial intelligence across the business community is gaining steam as more companies find ways to use the technology to improve productivity, but AI still has a ways to go before seeing widespread adoption across the economy. For example, just 5.1% of firms in North Carolina are using AI, according to the U.S. Census Bureau's 2024 Business Outlook and Trends Survey. Nationally, the figure was 5.5%, and more than 80% of businesses surveyed said they had not recently used AI to produce goods or services. The survey also found that more than a quarter of businesses using the technology use it to handle tasks that were previously done by employees. But interestingly, more companies using AI say they plan to increase their headcount than those that say they will cut jobs. The survey found that the most common type of use of AI is for marketing automation. And now we turn to the top news stories in the Triangle Business Journal. The first one written by Lauren Onasorge. New Amtrak route links Triangle to Chicago. Service will provide a direct link from Chicago all the way to Miami. Amtrak is launching a new way to get to the Midwest from Raleigh, the Floridian, a temporary train route providing direct rail service between Chicago and Miami. The line, which will have local stops in Raleigh and Cary, starts service November 10 and comes from the temporary combination of two existing routes, Capital Limited and Silver Star. Amtrak is combining the routes due to the upcoming East River Tunnel Rehabilitation Project in New York. Jason Orthner, Rail Division Director for the North Carolina Department of Transportation, says the route is scheduled to last about a year depending on construction, but it could be extended. I'm sure that as this is evaluated by Amtrak, they'll look at those numbers, he says. They'll look at the success of this service and evaluate that for future opportunities. Orthner says statistics are clear that North Carolinians are interested in traveling by train. He estimates that rail will finish the year with 50% more ridership in the state than what was reported in 2019. Raleigh was one of Amtrak's top five stations in the southeast last year, with a ridership of more than 231,000 people, according to the company. According to Amtrak, the Floridian will operate on a similar schedule and make the current stops of the Capital Limited between Chicago and Washington, D.C., and the Silver Star between Miami and Washington, D.C. Those taking the new service can upgrade to ride in style. First-class private options include a roomette with reclining seats that transform into beds by night and include shower access. First-class passengers could alternately access a bedroom option that offers twice the space of a roomette and an in-room restroom and shower. Also, all customers in private rooms receive complimentary lounge access at major stations. Canes unveil new look for arena area. Major changes ahead for the Lenovo Center and Carter Finley District. This article is written by Kate Tracy. Another batch of renderings submitted to the City of Raleigh reveal just how much the skyline around the Lenovo Center could change as one of the largest developments in the city's history comes together. The city received a rezoning request for the Raleigh Sports and Entertainment District on September 23rd, detailing the $1 billion development plan around the Lenovo Center that's being pushed by Carolina Hurricanes owner Tom Dundon. The proposal calls for a site with four sub-districts holding 4,000 residential units, up to 3 million square feet of non-residential space with building heights up to 40 stories, parking decks, open space, entertainment and dining areas, as well as an enhanced tailgating experience. One sub-district involves the arena itself and surface parking. The plan shows 20 acres for parking on the northeast side of the arena, Wade Avenue. The arena itself will see hundreds of millions worth of upgrades and renovations in the coming years. The entertainment sub-district covers 27 acres, according to the rezoning application. Building heights for the first-class entertainment venues range from 3 to 15 stories, with opportunities for tailgating, food and beverage businesses, retail, hotels, and more. The entertainment portion sits between the arena and Carter Finley Stadium. The mixed-use sub-district includes retail, residential, and office space. The rezoning is seeking 40-story heights for the 12-acre area along Edwards Mill Road. The 9-acre live-work sub-district is located along Edwards Mill Road and Wade Avenue and is also seeking 40-story heights. The plans show 12 acres of open space as well. Gale Force Sports and Entertainment, the parent company of the Hurricanes, intends to start work on the first phase in late 2025. Dallas-based Pacific Elm Properties, a real estate affiliate for Gale Force, is leading the development. Phase one will include more than 200,000 square feet of entertainment and lifestyle retail space, 150,000 square feet of office space, a 150-key hotel, and more than 500 apartments. And two parking garages that line either side of the tailgating experience. A revamped tailgating scene is expected to be complete in time for the 2027 football season. A 4,300-seat music venue operated by Live Nation is also in the plans. The entire development has a 15-year timeline. Mucinex maker to put 300-job plant in Wilson. Wilson has landed a large investment from the maker of a popular cough and cold medicine. The North Carolina Department of Commerce's Economic Investment Committee voted during a meeting September 24 to approve incentives for Project Titan, an investment from an LLC tied to product manufacturer Reckitt Benckiser Group, which makes brands like Mucinex and Lysol. The more than $145 million investment will create 289 jobs over a five-year period, paying a minimum average wage of $80,182. Per the latest U.S. Census Bureau estimates, as of 2022, Wilson County's median household income was $49,827. The committee approved a roughly $4.6 million performance-based job development investment grant tied to the expansion. The company will use its Wilson plant to expand its production capacity of Mucinex. The company has one other manufacturing plant in Salt Lake City, where it focuses on manufacturing vitamin products. St. Augs ordered to pay turf firm nearly $600,000. St. Augustine's University has been ordered to pay almost $600,000 to a turf company, one of multiple lawsuits it has faced over unpaid work. Field Turf USA Incorporated claimed in March that St. Augustine's owed it $598,472 for work completed last year. According to court documents, the two parties signed a sales agreement in September 2023 for a 86,616-square-foot artificial turf football field. The company claimed it never received payment. St. Augustine's did not respond in court to the lawsuit. A Wake County Superior Court judge issued an order for summary judgment this month, requiring St. Augustine's to pay $598,472 plus interest and attorney's fees. And our last top news story is written by Lauren Onasorge. PNC passes Bank of America in Raleigh market share. New federal numbers show shifts in the banking market across the Raleigh metro. PNC is making up some major ground in Raleigh, passing Bank of America in the latest deposits report out of the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. PNC, which ranked fifth on last year's FDIC ranking of deposit holders in the city, passed Bank of America to take the fourth place slot in the latest report, which looks at bank data through June 30. Bank of America had more than $2.9 billion in deposits in the market last year. It dipped to just under $2.6 billion in the latest report. Wells Fargo, which was displaced at the top by First Citizens Bank last year, dropped from just under $5.6 billion deposits in Raleigh in 2023 to $5.5 billion. That's as PNC rose from $2.4 billion to $2.7 billion in the local market. Town Bank of Virginia ranked sixth in the report, edging out First Horizon, which held the spot in 2023. First Carolina also moved into the top 10, displacing Pinnacle Bank, which ranked 11th on this year's report. Pinnacle was ninth last year. Brian Reed, Triangle market leader for Town Bank, says he has been chasing First Horizon for some time. "It's really just a testament to people valuing community-focused banking," he says. At First Carolina, whose recent fintech partnership led to an increase in deposits, CEO Ron Day gives a lot of credit to the bank's decision to locate many of its executives in Raleigh. "We expect to increase our deposit market share here over time," he says. Fifth Third Bank took a dip on the list. It's 12th on the 2024 report after ranking 11th last year. Raleigh-based First Citizens, which has held the top slot since acquiring Silicon Valley Bank and CIT, was listed as having under $44.7 billion last year, but has grown since to $55 billion in the market. But there's some nuance, as industry watchers say that First Citizens' deposit count is what's held here on paper. PNC entered the state more than a decade ago with its buy of RBC Bank for $3.5 billion from Royal Bank of Canada. And despite recently giving up the naming rights to what was known as PNC Arena, it's been zeroing in on Raleigh. "The whole nation sees this area and the entire state of North Carolina that we have a large opportunity of wealth," Denny Terzik, market leader for the Carolinas with PNC Private Bank, said earlier this year. "We're just trying to get involved with those opportunities." And now we turn to the reporter pages in the Triangle Business Journal, starting with Ben Tobin's page, Greater Triangle. VinFast Eyes Asia delays Chatham County plans. The losses continue to pile up for Vietnamese electric vehicle manufacturer VinFast. The company that promised a 7,500-job manufacturing plant in Chatham County reported its second quarter earnings September 20, showing a net loss of $773 million. The company says the increase was primarily driven by an impairment charge of $104 million on its vehicle inventory, up from $5 million in the first quarter. For the first half of the year, the company saw a net loss of roughly $1.38 billion per Securities and Exchange Commission filings. Revenue has increased for the company, which reported $357 million for Q2, up 33% from 1Q, and a 9% gain year over year. In July, VinFast decided to push the timeline for production to begin at the Chatham plant to 2028. During the earnings call, company executives said it is cheaper for the company to invest in expanding in Asian markets than in the U.S. For the U.S., we made the strategic decision to push out the timing of our North Carolina plant in response to current macroeconomic uncertainties, VinFast chairwoman Lee Thu-Thai said. This does not change our long-term business plan and is part of ongoing assessment of our key markets as a multinational company. Texas home builder looks to Clayton. D.R. Horton buys 23 more lots as it continues to invest across the triangle. The nation's largest home builder has paid millions for lots in a neighborhood in Johnston County. D.R. Horton of Texas spent around $1.65 million earlier this month for 23 lots in the Olive Branch subdivision in Johnston County, according to deed records. The subdivision is located off Olive History Way and has a Clayton address. Our Olive Branch community opened for sales in the fall of 2023 and is expected to boast 363 homes in total at completion, says Christy Green, vice president for D.R. Horton's North Raleigh division. In our most recent phase, 55 homes were sold, ranging from the mid-$300,000s to low-$400,000s, and approximately 1,776 to 2,644 square feet. D.R. Horton has been quite active in the triangle, including in Johnston County. Last month, the home builder purchased 45 lots for about $3.2 million in an upcoming neighborhood called Wilson's Ridge in the town of Wilson's Mills. The neighborhood will be off the intersection of Daniel Road and Wilson's Mills Road, with plans calling for more than 250 homes, per representatives of D.R. Horton. More specifically, the neighborhood will have 167 townhomes and 87 single-family homes with various square footages. D.R. Horton's activity in Johnston County comes as the county is growing at an explosive rate. According to the most recent estimates from the U.S. Census Bureau, as of July 2023, the county had just shy of 242,000 residents. That is quite an increase from the less than 169,000 residents of 2010. Johnston County has benefited from the triangle's growth, with homes generally more affordable than those in Wake County, while also offering access to Research Triangle Park. Triangle MLS, now Dorify MLS, data says the median sales price for a single-family home in the county in August was just shy of $400,000, a 3% drop from the same month in 2023. Raleigh developer grabs land just east of Henderson. A residential developer in the Pinehurst area recently made an investment in Vance County, which straddles the North Carolina and Virginia border. Southbury Development, tied to David Chapman, purchased a little more than 74 vacant acres off Vicksboro and Cary Chapel Roads for $1 million earlier this month, according to Vance County deed records. The land has a Henderson address. The land is by Acock Elementary School, east of Henderson, where residential development is picking up. At the present, we have purchased the property to develop, and we're working through the details, Chapman says. No specifics yet, but we like the area and being next door to the nice elementary school, which positively affects our future development. The counties north of Raleigh and Durham have been attracting investments and developer interest, particularly for residential projects, as the cost of land is much cheaper than in Wake and Durham counties. And finally, LGI Homes snares 27 acres with Bailey address. A Texas home builder that's active in the Triangle has continued its acquisition activity in the region, this time dropping seven figures in Nash County. An LLC tied to LGI Homes Incorporated purchased a little more than 27.5 acres off Old Smithfield Road for $1 million earlier this month, according to Nash County deed records. The land has a Bailey address. Unlike many Triangle counties, Nash County's population declined from 2010 to 2020 from 95,480 residents to 94,967, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. But the population rebounded between 2020 and 2023 to just over 96,550. And now we turn to Lauren Onosorge's page, Transportation Industry. Bucky's to mean major traffic, road work ahead. Texas chain plans 75,000-foot store in Alamance County. The state of North Carolina is bracing for its first Bucky's store and the traffic headaches it could cause in Alamance County. The Texas-based chain of oversized travel centers is putting a location along I-40/85 in Mebane. Joey Hopkins, North Carolina Secretary of Transportation, says the state has a plan that includes $32.8 million worth of interchange improvements that could help handle the drove of vehicles exiting and entering the interstate at the Bucky's location. Hopkins and local officials traveled to South Carolina to see a Bucky's in person off Interstate 95 as part of the planning process, but it was hardly his first experience with the brand. My first trip was one near the Florida-Georgia line a few years ago, and man, was I blown away, Hopkins says. I stayed in there like an hour, just wandering around. In Mebane, Bucky's is planning a 75,000-square-foot building with 120 fueling spots and 600 parking spots. Bucky's stores are always open and draw thousands of vehicles each day. For the Mebane store, it's expected that peak times will mean an additional 2,000 vehicles on the road per hour. An official opening date has not been announced, but it is expected to happen in late 2026 or early 2027. When Bucky's expressed interest in a North Carolina locations, Hopkins knew the traffic would follow. Traffic was one of the major concerns by those who oppose the project. Back in 2020, there was so much pushback over Bucky's that a proposal for Orange County was scrapped, only to reemerge a few miles away on the Alamance County side of Mebane. In January, the Mebane City Council approved a rezoning to make way for the store, which will sit on 32 acres at Trawlingwood-Hawfields Road, exit 152. Hopkins says the location Bucky's chose proved to be fortuitous, as improvements to the interchange at Trawlingwood-Hawfields Road had been in the works for years. The nearly $33 million project is set to start construction in 2025. RDU plummets in passenger satisfaction. Raleigh-Durham International Airport took a dive on the latest customer satisfaction survey from J.D. Power from 5th place last year to 13th. Among large airports in the 2024 report, the leading large airports in the North American Airport Satisfaction Study were John Wayne Airport in Orange County, California, Tampa International Airport, and Kansas City International Airport. Mike Taylor, Managing Director of Travel, Hospitality, and Retail at J.D. Power, says RDU's drop isn't unexpected as its passenger volume shot up by 11%. They're getting mobbed, he says. Changes in passenger volume have a great effect on scores, as does construction. In 2024, RDU will likely break its record-setting year of 2023 when more than 14.5 million people travel through the airport. Taylor says there's only so much an airport can do when travel volumes are increasing rapidly. Part of it has to do with just physical space, and that's hard to come by in airports, Taylor says. It's not easy to create it. He says that airports showing the most success are often those that have built a brand new building, such as those in Kansas City and Indianapolis. RDU has ambitious plans for terminal expansion, but expanding Terminal 2 won't be possible until the airport completes its new international runway. Delta to boost RDU Florida service for the holidays. Delta Airlines will launch additional Florida service at Raleigh-Durham International Airport this holiday season. A spokesman confirmed plans to beef up Delta's current service to Fort Lauderdale and Miami. Both nonstop flights, which Delta currently offers once a day, will increase to twice daily from December 21 through January 5th to accommodate holiday flying. Both flights have major competition at RDU. Miami is also offered by American Airlines and Frontier, and RDU's route map lists JetBlue, Southwest, and Spirit as also serving RDU to Fort Lauderdale. Beginning in March, Delta plans to expand its nonstop service from RDU to Austin, Texas, offering it three times a day. The added flights come as American Airlines plans to end its RDU Austin service in November. Delta, once RDU's largest carrier in terms of in-plane passengers, has taken a slight back seat in recent months as American edged ahead. Through July, American and its partners had a 27.6 stake at RDU, slightly ahead of Delta's 26.2%. Southwest has 14.9% of the market, followed by United Airlines at 11.3% and Frontier at 7.7%. And now we turn to retail and restaurants. This page written by Kate Tracy. Costco plans store in Wake Forest, new store to be located near the interchange of US 1 and Highway 98. Costco Wholesale Corporation is eyeing Wake Forest to build its newest Triangle store. The retail giant based in Washington State is working with local real estate firm Alliance Group NC on plans to build a new store on land at 400 Lowe's Avenue near the US 1 and Highway 98 interchange and adjacent to a Lowe's home improvement store. AGNC owner and broker in charge Jacob Anderson confirms the location and that the development team held an informational neighborhood meeting about the project on September 12, which he says received a positive response from attendees. Anderson says AGNC and Costco plan to submit formal development plans to the town of Wake Forest in October, but declined to comment further. "We're just early in the process," he says. Tim Richards, senior planner with the town, says the recent meeting AGNC hosted was not a town requirement and town representatives were not involved. He says the town has not received any development applications related to the project. A Costco spokesperson declines to comment on its Wake Forest plans. The Wake Forest store would be the company's fifth in the Triangle following the opening of its Garner store in 2022. Costco also has locations in Raleigh, Apex, and Durham. The new Costco would add to a busy corridor in Wake Forest. A hotel developer is planning a Town Place Suites by Marriott on a neighboring parcel. The forested parcel at 400 Lowe's Avenue belongs to an LLC affiliated with Wake Forest residents John and Priscilla Rolls, per public records. The parcel is 66.74 acres with a total assessed value of $8.7 million. Costco would occupy 24.9 acres on the property, according to development plans posted on social media and a recording of the neighborhood meeting. Mellow Mushroom now open in Holly Springs. The Triangle's newest Mellow Mushroom restaurant is open in Holly Springs. The restaurant is located at 128 Collins Crossing Road and joins a handful of other Mellow Mushrooms in the Triangle, including in Durham, Briar Creek, Cary, Wake Forest, and Raleigh, in addition to many more throughout the state. The Atlanta chain serves a variety of stone-baked pizzas, wings, calzones, burgers, salads, along with offering a craft beer and a full bar. Late last year, the owner of both the Briar Creek and Holly Springs locations purchased land in Clayton for $1.35 million. The new Holly Springs location is located just south of the shops at Holly Springs. Its neighboring businesses include an Aldi, IHOP, and Holiday Inn Express. The nearby Finn's Car Wash sold this summer for $3.56 million to a New Jersey-based real estate company. Holly Springs is riding the boom in southern Wake County, attracting life sciences companies as well as housing developments. Other new Holly Springs restaurants in the works include OG Prime Steakhouse, which plans to open next year. Mellow Mushroom has been in business for 50 years and has more than 160 locations in 17 states, according to its website. Franchisees invest between $1.7 million and $4.6 million, including a $25,000 franchisee fee deposit. Architecture firm sets up an RTP, plans to hire. The Triangle has gained another architecture firm, Horde Copeland Macht, with offices in Charlotte and a handful of other states across the country, has established a new office in Research Triangle Park. The firm offers services in planning, architecture, landscape architecture, interior design, and environmental graphic design. It has three people working out of its Durham office now and plans to grow that team to 10 over the course of the next year. The office opened in August at 600 Park Offices Drive in the Venture X Durham RTP co-working space near Boxyard RTP. CEO Tim Barnhill says the new office will support Durham's technological and academic growth, and underscore our commitment to the Carolinas and the broader Southeast region. The firm's focus areas include designing for healthcare facilities, K-12 and higher education facilities, as well as senior, affordable, and mixed-use housing. And finally, Raleigh's new Trader Joe's to open this year. Raleigh's second Trader Joe's store is making progress. Construction workers are busy at work readying the new location at 8111 Creedmoor Road in Brennan Station. The new space does not have signage yet, but a Trader Joe's spokesperson says the store plans to be open by the end of the year. The grocer will be operating out of a 14,679 square foot space that formerly held an O2 Fitness. Kimco Realty purchased the shopping center and outparcels for $27.15 million in 2011 and remodeled it in 2019. Raleigh's current Trader Joe's is located at 3000 Wake Forest Road. Cary, Mooresville, Chapel Hill all have their own locations in addition to Asheville, Charlotte, Wilmington, Greensboro, and Winston-Salem. Trader Joe's also lists a new location in Greenville as coming soon on its website. And now we turn to the healthcare and life sciences page written by Zach Ezone. Japanese firm leans into Sanford. Gene therapy firm plans to expand at a time when many others are scrambling. As some gene therapy projects face cancellations or delays, a Japanese pharmaceutical company continues to advance its plans in North Carolina. Astellas Gene Therapies, part of Astellas Pharma, in 2022 opened a facility in Stanford that could eventually span 135,000 square feet. The site has gained increased importance for the company as it closes a facility in California and consolidates gene therapy manufacturing to North Carolina. Astellas is carrying out its plans in Sanford through a three-phase expansion, says Don Mather, Astellas Senior Vice President and Division Head for Biopharma Manufacturing. As part of the facility's first phase, Astellas has built out about 15,000 square feet of space with plenty of room to grow. We still have existing shell space that has not been built out to support up to a 20-fold expansion from where we are today, Mather says. The Sanford facility is one of numerous gene therapy projects announced in the Triangle area in recent years, but some have stalled, scaled back, or been canceled. Audence Therapeutics, which was acquired by Astellas, announced its initial plans for the facility in 2020, choosing North Carolina over California, Massachusetts, and Colorado. The company at the time said the project would support around 200 jobs and represent an investment of about $100 million. Moving into the second phase of the project is dependent on the progress of the business, Mather says. Astellas has multiple clinical stage programs, including a gene therapy treatment for pediatric patients with X-linked myotubular myopathy, a rare genetic neuromuscular disease that can be fatal. However, a clinical trial was put on hold in 2021 after the deaths of 4 of 24 children treated with the therapy. Mather declines to comment on the status of this program, but says the company is focused on moving forward its entire portfolio, which also includes a clinical stage program focused on Pompe disease. Snowflake stars among new sites for patients. A gene therapy being developed by a small company in Durham has significantly improved the vision of some patients in a clinical trial, with one even seeing a snowflake for the first time. Atsena Therapeutics is a biotechnology company developing gene therapies that target diseases that cause blindness. One of its programs, called ATSN-101, was recently evaluated in a Phase 1-2 clinical trial involving patients with a rare inherited retinal disease called Leber congenital amaurosis 1, or LCA1, that typically causes blindness in early childhood. There were 15 patients involved in the study, of 9 of whom received the highest dose of the level of the therapy. Those patients experienced clinically significant improvements in retinal sensitivity with no drug-related serious adverse events, according to the Lancet Medical Journal. One patient, after receiving the therapy, could read the ingredients on her child's Halloween candy, while another was able to see the lines in a crosswalk to safely cross the street. Chief Medical Officer Kenji Fuchida says the results were about as good as the company could have expected. One patient could see snowflakes for the first time, and another patient saw a star for the first time. UNC Health gets nod to expand in Chapel Hill. UNC Health's plans for a large expansion of its medical center in Chapel Hill had been approved. The health system in June submitted an application to the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services seeking to add 26 acute care beds at UNC Medical Center. The DHHS on August 29 approved the health system's plans according to public filings. The project will see UNC Health add 13 beds to its existing main bed tower at its Chapel Hill campus and another 13 beds on the fourth floor of the Medical Center's West Tower. The application was in response to the 2024 State Medical Facilities Plan, which identified a need for more hospital beds in Orange County, where the population has grown from around 135,000 in 2010 to more than 150,000 today. UNC Health was the only organization to file an application to develop the beds. The proposed capital expenditure is about $90 million. And finally, startup pulls in $40 million from global company. The latest funding round for a Durham gene editing company will support its efforts to develop a seedless blackberry or pitless cherry. Pairwise has closed a $40 million Series C round that includes a significant investment from Corteva, headquartered in Indiana. Corteva contributed $25 million, which is otherwise led by Deerfield Management, and included multiple returning investors. This investment from Corteva is also anchoring a joint venture with Pairwise. This five-year collaboration is aimed at solving challenges around large commodity crops like corn, such as increasing yield for food, fuel, and fiber production, despite the effects of climate change. And now we turn to the last reporter page in the Triangle Business Journal, Real Estate and Development, written by Kaylee Thompson. Judge blocks plans for townhomes. Developer plans to go back to the drawing board after court ruling raises concerns. A Wake County Superior Court judge has reversed the Raleigh Board of Adjustment's decision to approve a townhome development in the heart of Raleigh's Hayes-Barton neighborhood. The September 23 ruling by Judge Brian Collins also revoked the site plan approval for the project, which is led by Concept 8 Holdings of Apex. The case involves plans for 17 townhomes on a 2.4-acre lot on Williamson Drive. After a group of homeowners challenged the developer's plans, the issue went to the BOA, which last year voted to uphold the city's decision to approve the site plans. The city has been pushing for missing middle zoning to allow for denser developments. After that BOA ruling, three sets of homeowners appealed that decision, which sent the case to the Wake County Superior Court. Collins's order says the developer has 6 months to submit a revised preliminary subdivision plan under its original application to the city that's consistent with the ruling. If it isn't submitted within 6 months, then the original application will be discontinued. The case centered on the lack of transitional protective yard provided in the approved plans, which had been an open lot deemed as its buffer. The order states, "This creates a result that is totally not consistent with the purpose of a transitional protective yard." Craig D. Justice, attorney with the Van Winkle Law Firm representing the homeowner, says the point of the case was to provide better transition between the neighbors and the development. "We thought we were right, and the judge said we were right all along, that they did not satisfy all the compact development subdivision standards," Justice said. Real estate developer Johnny Chappell, part of Concept 8, says the development team will submit revised plans. "Our next steps include submitting a revised subdivision plan showing a transitional protective yard for approval," he says. Cary land near Apple site sells for millions. Plans for a townhome community in Northwest Cary are moving forward near the site of the postponed Apple campus. TriPoint Homes, via Kennedy Lewis Investment Management as a land bank, acquired three parcels along Lewis Stevens Drive for $9.5 million, according to Wake County deed records. The 137 townhome community will be near the McCrimmon Corners shopping mall anchored by Harris Teeter. TriPoint and Kennedy Lewis entered into a memorandum of option agreement, according to Wake County deed records. That agreement states that Kennedy Lewis owns the townhome lots and that TriPoint has the option to purchase the lots from Kennedy Lewis and has until April 30, 2028 to do so. The land is 32.02 acres and has an assessed value of about $6 million. The $9.5 million sale price comes to about $300,000 per acre. The value of the properties jumped after the recent Wake County revaluations. The properties were assessed at $3.38 million in early 2023. Northwest Cary and the Highway 55 corridor have attracted a lot of residential development, especially around the site for Apple's future campus. And finally, developer eyes Chapel Hill Country Club area. A growing area between Durham and Chapel Hill is about to get another multifamily project. Greenhawk Development of Raleigh has received rezoning approval from the City of Durham for a build-to-rent project with duplexes and quadplexes west of Interstate 40 and slightly north of Highway 54. The previous zoning was residential single-family 20, with the new zoning being residential compact district. The new zoning allows for up to 340 units on the site near the Chapel Hill Country Club. Jeremy Medlin, Executive Vice President of Development for Greenhawk, says the developer plans to build around 330 units with a mix of 1, 2, and 3 bedrooms. The quads will be predominantly 1 and 2 bedrooms. No rental range is available yet, but 3% of the units will be made affordable to those making 80% of the area median income for 30 years. The units will range from 950 to 1,400 square feet and be between 2 and 2.5 stories. The project is on properties at 5504 and 5512 Wendell Road, 5529 George King Road, and portions of 5410 and 5416 Wendell Road, and 5533 George King Road. The combined assessed value is $693,015. Medlin says the developer will start site work in the third or fourth quarter of 2025 and that it'll take 3 to 4 years to finish all the units. And with our remaining time, we'll read as much as we can of the executive voice Q&A. This focuses on Kerry Dixon. In the Closer Look section, title, Chancellor, NC Central University, hometown, Winston-Salem. First job, associate producer at WXII in Winston-Salem. Education, bachelor's and doctoral degrees from NC State University. Master's degree from UNC Greensboro. And at NC Central, enrollment, fall 2024, 8,579 students, up 8.1% from last year, and the endowment, fiscal year 2022, $56.9 million. Prior to becoming chancellor at NC Central University in July, Kerry Dixon spent 6 years turning around Elizabeth City State University. She became chancellor there after being part of a task force created by the University of North Carolina system to address ECSU's dire financial and enrollment situation. During her time leading the university, its enrollment increased by nearly 70%, and it raised $24 million in private gifts. It was a remarkable success for Dixon, who began in television but found her passion in education. She rose from positions at NC State and the UNC system to her current role. And we'll actually have to stop there, but Kerry Dixon does mention she was attracted to NC Central due to its history and potential. And we've run out of time for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Derek Frost, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The Triangle Business Journal is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. So long until next time, and thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.